Hello, everyone. How are we doing? Are you okay? It's good to see you. It's a privilege to be speaking to you this morning. And we're going to be looking at a story from Mark chapter 4 this morning. I thought I'd start with a couple of stories of my own, though. Is that okay? The first story is about a man. It was almost his 37th birthday. And he looked at himself in the mirror and thought, do you know what? I really need to get in shape. And so he went down to W.H. Smith. And he bought himself an exercise DVD. It was Davina's new exercise DVD. This one, Davina's 27th exercise DVD, was called Yes to Flat Abs, No to Fat Flaps. And it came with a free copy of her other DVD, Buttocks of Reinforced Concrete. And a couple of weeks later, the man is back in WH Smith. And I said to the man, I mean, he said to the manager, he said, do you know what? This DVD is rubbish. It doesn't work. And the manager said, what, you mean it doesn't play? And he said, no, it does play. It just doesn't work. And the manager said, so tell me what happened. Every night I watched it for 2 weeks. But it's rubbish. It hasn't made any difference at all. And I'm still exactly the same as I was before. And the manager said, did you do any of the exercises? And the man said, have you seen my new trainers? They're really good. They're about 70 quid. And the man said, yeah, but did you do any of the exercises? And he said, I've got these new protein bars. They're fantastic. And he said, did you do any of the exercises? And the man said, do you like my sweatbands? And The manager of W.H. Smith said, sorry, mate, I think the DVD is fine. You just have to do what it says. And the man went away sad because his man boobs were going to be hard to shift. Just a little story there. That's not a true story, obviously. I buy my DVDs online. So I thought I'd tell you another story. This one actually is a true story, and it's about a time when I called NHS 111. Has anyone ever called NHS 111? It's quite handy, isn't it? And the situation was that Esther, my daughter, had been up in the night, and for a couple of days she'd had a really sore throat. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I know what this is. I've seen this before. This is tonsillitis. But I can't really go to the GP because we're going on holiday today. And so I'd really like to get in a doctor somewhere. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll call NHS 111. I'm fairly sure I know what the problem is, but I'm still going to call NHS 111, see if they can get me sorted quickly, get me into the doctors or something like that. And the lady on the other end of the phone was fantastic. She said, I'm just going to run through a few questions with you. They might not all seem relevant, but I do have to ask them all. And so I said, okay, my daughter's got a sore throat, and so I'm hoping that you can help me. And the lady on 111 said, okay, the first question, is your child breathing? And I said, yes, she is breathing. And the second question was, is your child conscious? And I said, yes, she is. She's got a sore throat, but she's conscious. Yeah. And then the next question was, is she bleeding profusely? And I thought, I wonder if it's ever happened that somebody has rung with a sore, said, I've got a sore throat. And they go, but now you mention it, she is unconscious and bleeding profusely, so I'm glad you asked. I wonder if that has ever happened. I know they have to ask these things. I'm not complaining at all. The NHS is 111 is wonderful. And then the next question was, has she had a general anaesthetic in the last 48 hours? I said, no, she's just got a sore throat. And she said, I'll just remind you that I have to ask these questions. They may not all seem relevant, but I do have to ask them. I say, well, they don't all seem relevant, but you can ask them. And then she said, has she had garlic bread or cheesy garlic bread in the last week? Now, I made that one up. That would have been very weird, wouldn't it? But so in the end of the story is not that exciting. She didn't need antibiotics. She was fine. But it just occurred to me that sometimes we can approach God's word in these ways, can't we? We can either come to God's word thinking that we already know what the answer and hoping that God's word is going to confirm the thing that we already think. And that's probably my situation with NHS 111. And sometimes we can come to God's word like the exercise DVD, can't we? We can enjoy it, maybe. I'm not saying that's what happened. But we really need to do what it says. And that's when transformation happens. It's not an intellectual exercise we're engaged in this morning. It's not the sense that God's going to, we're just coming just to check that we already think the right thing. We're going to open up God's word together and be prepared to be challenged, be prepared to be changed, prepared to be confused maybe, prepared to be surprised. And as we open the Bible this morning, we want to encounter the real Jesus, don't we? We do that in worship and we do that in the word as well. We want to meet this Jesus this morning who opens eyes, dispatches demons and walks on waves. This Jesus who feeds thousands, calms storms and really freaks out his disciples. This Jesus who prays for people and next to them a load of pigs jump off a cliff. And surprising, isn't it? It's not what we expect. We meet this Jesus who forgives sinners, heals lepers and eats with outcasts. This Jesus who tells stories and no one understands them. This Jesus whose behavior leads his family to come and find him and say, Jesus, you're out of your mind. And these aren't the things we necessarily think of when we think of Jesus. But if you read Mark's gospel, these are all things that are in there. We want to meet the Jesus who was crucified, died, buried, raised to life, ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day will return. That's the Jesus that we want to encounter this morning, isn't it? So why don't we pray together again? Lord Jesus, would you help us this morning as we meet with you, as we listen to you, your word, as we want to have our hearts changed, we want to go away different this morning. So this morning we want to open up our hearts to what you want to say to us this morning. Amen. So why don't we look at our passage for today. If you've got your Bible with you, you can turn to Mark chapter 4 and we're going to read from verse 1. There, if you haven't got your Bible with you, the words will come up on the screen. I promise you they will. And so when we're ready, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4. Okay, here we go. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Later, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." Okay, so this morning, our subject is seeds and soil, secrets of a fruitful life. And this is a story about how we can have a fruitful life. And can you imagine the scene? Can you picture the scene? There's a large crowd has gathered, and this is a big gig for Jesus. And it's so big that he has to get into the boat and just basically for kind of get some space. It's kind of a first century crowd control. It's not like when we go to a gig and there's that bloke at the front who stands like this. with a thing in his ears. It's not like that. But there's just that sense that Jesus is having to do anything he can to stop people crowding around him to rush the stage. And there's no PA system. And so Jesus is having to project his voice to the thousands of people who are listening. And we can imagine the crowd. And it's an amazing thing to speak to such a crowd like that, isn't it? And the word has spread. Jesus is doing miracles all across the area. And so people are gathering in to come and hear what Jesus has to say. And it's easy for us to imagine ourselves in the crowd and think, bums on seats, it's fantastic, isn't it? But Jesus is calling us to be more than just members of the crowd this morning. Because later on in the story, Jesus goes on and explains the story to his disciples. I think it's interesting that Jesus tells this story and even the disciples don't understand it. We maybe have heard this story spoken about so often that we all go, oh yeah, it was obvious what Jesus was on about here. But when we read the account in Mark's gospel, even the disciples don't quite get it. And it's interesting that Jesus teaches in that way, isn't it? And we might wonder why Jesus does it that way. We have to think of Jesus as being a great communicator, but some of us would go, oh, I would have explained it a bit better, I think. But Jesus just says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear, and leaves it at that. And there's a sense that by telling stories and parables, Jesus is whetting people's appetite. He's intriguing them. Somebody said a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to start with a couple of stories this morning. My stories aren't as good as Jesus' stories. But there's something that happens when we hear a story. And I think that as the people in the crowd were on their way home, they were kind of wrestling with it. And one of them said to the other, what do you think the seed represents? I don't know. Is it money? Is it one of those ones about money? No, I don't think so. And somebody else saying, is it about time? Is it agricultural tips from Jesus? Is it a message about birds? Is it a fertilizer sales pitch? I don't know what it is. But when Jesus later on with his disciples, he explains it to them. And we'll look at that in a moment. But there's a sense that the parable stimulates our brain in a different way. Did you know that when somebody tells you a story, your brain activity is similar to if you'd actually had the thing happen to you? Which is why one of the reasons why Jesus' stories are so powerful and so memorable, because it's like we've experienced something. And a parable, the word literally means to place alongside. And so it's like saying this thing is like this thing. And in some ways, that's the only way we can talk about the kingdom, isn't it? It's the only way we can talk about things that happen in our hearts, because we can't see them and we don't really have language to talk about it. So it's metaphor, it's simile, it's imagery, and these aren't just tools that we use to get a better mark in our GCSE English, although I think that is what happens. These are powerful tools to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. And that's why Jesus likes to say the kingdom of God is like, it's like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like treasure in a field. And so many other metaphors that Jesus uses in his parables. And so I'm grateful that we have the next bit of the passage. It's like we experience the big gig and we love that. But we've got backstage passes. We've got access all areas to the bit that happens next with Jesus and his disciples. And so let's dig into that, shall we, this morning? Okay. And I love this phrase, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Just check, have you got ears to hear this morning? Just check with the person next to you if they've got ears to hear. The Message Bible puts it like this. It says, are you listening to this? Really listening? Or the Passion Translation puts it more simply. It says, if you understand this, then you need to respond. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying. There's kind of emphasis that if we understand it, there's a sense that the crowd didn't all understand it, but we're kind of on the inside. Jesus describes as people who have been let in on the mysteries of the kingdom. And so if we're in that position this morning, then we need to respond. And I think often when we talk about this passage in the Bible, we tend to think that all of us who are church kind of people, if you've been around church for a little while, we tend to think, oh, I'm probably in category number four. I'm probably in the good soil. And everyone else, when we preach to them, if they don't respond, that's because they're in category one, two, or three. We're in category four, so we're okay. And that is a valid interpretation of the passage in that some people don't respond when they hear the word for various reasons. But I want to encourage us to be people who apply it to ourselves. If we have understanding, then we need to respond. It'd be helpful if we had one of those kind of, you know, those Facebook quizzes you do that says, which character in Friends are you? I'm Gunther, by the way. But which type of soil are you? You tell who watches Friends and who doesn't watch Friends. Sorry, if you don't watch Friends. It'd be helpful if we had one of those quizzes that we could do to work out which type of soil we are. And another thing that Jesus says that I find interesting is when Jesus says to his disciples, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? And I don't know whether, he always sounds a little bit frustrated. I don't know quite how Jesus said it to his disciples. And part of us can read that passage and go, feels like Jesus is saying, come on guys, this is one of the easy ones. If you don't get this one, you don't stand a chance with the other ones. And maybe there's a bit of that, but Jesus is wanting to train his disciples to understand this stuff. And also, there's a sense that this parable about how we respond to God, if we understand this, then we're going to understand so much more of what God wants to say to us. And when we talk about the word this morning, we're talking about the word of God in the Bible, we're talking about prophetic word, and we're talking about Jesus, the living word as well. So how we respond is the crucial thing. So seeds and soil, the secret to a fruitful life. So let's have a think about this story for a minute. It's about four types of soil and four possible responses to Jesus. And the difference in the fruitfulness doesn't come from the seed. It's all good seed. But the difference is the soil. And so often that's true in our spiritual lives, isn't it? That the way that we respond to God determines our level of fruitfulness. And so this morning I want to just unpack for a few moments these four responses that people can have to the word of God and the responses they can have to Jesus. And just encourage you as I'm speaking, if there's something that kind of sticks out more than the others, maybe that's the Holy Spirit prompting us. And so just be aware of what's going on in your heart. If I say something and it suddenly resonates with you and you go, yeah, that's me, then don't ignore that. Let's respond to God. If we've got ears to hear, let's respond, shall we? And I think it's possible for us to have different responses, different heart responses in different times in our lives, in different areas of our lives. It might be that we're kind of good soil for God's teaching about the future and salvation, but when it comes to God's teaching about money, then our heart's a little bit harder. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe we're good soil when God talks about worship, but we struggle when God challenges us about something else, about the poor maybe, or so many other things that we could have a response to in a different way. So let's just bear all those things in mind as we look at the first type of soil, which is the hard ground. And there's a picture in this story about a field, and it's not probably doesn't look quite like the fields that we see in this country, and I'm no farming expert anyway. Makes me want to sing I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester. It's a good song, isn't it? I don't think the fields were quite as neat and well organized as they are maybe today. And so there'd be areas of the field, it wasn't a case that the farmer was doing a bad job by getting some of the seed in the wrong place. That was just how it happened. Because there'd be like a path through the middle of the field, and that area of ground would just get trodden and trodden and trodden and trodden until it's got so hard that nothing can get in. And maybe there's a sense that some of us can get like that in our spiritual lives. This area of the path, that can be an issue for us. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson in The Message translates these few verses, so I'm going to refer to that each time. And he says this, some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And as life goes on, it can be really easy to become hard-hearted, can't it? I know that's something that can happen in my life. There's hurt that comes in, rejection that comes in, weariness. And there's a sense that we can become harder and we can become resistant to what God wants to say to us. Maybe there's disappointment that's come in and it's led us to become hard-hearted. And if that's you this morning, don't feel condemned. Don't feel like, oh no, I've blown it. This morning is just a gentle reminder of God's Spirit asking us to look again at our hearts, do a little bit of open heart surgery on us. But God does that so gently and so beautifully, doesn't he? So it's not a case of feeling bad. It's a case of God wanting to spur us on to more fruitfulness this morning. We can become self-sufficient, can't we? We can have an independent spirit. We can have that sense of saying, I'm okay. Or we can kind of decide that something is so set in our thinking that we're not prepared to open our minds and our hearts to hear a different perspective. And so that's kind of the sense I have of being hard-hearted. And it's interesting what the birds represent in the story, being the enemy wanted to steal things away from us. And the seed doesn't take root, and so the devil can come in, steal away what's been sown. And we don't want to focus on the devil this morning, but we recognize that is a spiritual reality, isn't it? And so let's focus on our part, which is being the good soil. So that's the hard ground, and maybe that resonates with you this morning. The next thing that Jesus talks about is the rocky ground. And Jesus says this: and some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there is nothing to show for it. And when I read that, it kind of smacks you between the eyes, doesn't it? I wouldn't want anyone to look at my life and go, well, it started off well. He was enthusiastic to begin with, but at the end, there was nothing to show for it. And enthusiasm at first is a great thing, and it's good to be enthusiastic. But there's something that needs to happen that's deeper than that, isn't it? This passage is talking about kind of there can be a thin layer of soil on the top, which is why something springs up quickly. But then because it doesn't go any deeper than that, the roots can't get down. And when the sun comes up, when difficulty comes along, the plants can be scorched and they can wither. And that's not what we want for our spiritual lives, is it? And it's interesting that at the moment in life groups, if you're in a life group, we're looking at the character course, because character is so important, isn't it? And the message talks about having a shallow soil of character. And we need to develop that depth, don't we? That resilience. And God's wanted to develop that in us. And it's interesting, we just prayed for Claire. And I think when difficulty arrives, you could think of Claire's situation. That is some difficulty arriving. And I think it's so such a great example that these guys have got deep roots. And so they're not withering, but they're drinking deeper. And just want to affirm them in that and encourage them. And it's a great example to us, isn't it? That when we have difficulty in our lives, we need to have the deep roots so that we can keep going. And it's not all about excitement. It's not all mountaintop experiences. And so it's very easy in a big gathering to get swept up in the emotion and say yes to God. But we need to be people who, on a Monday morning when things are not so exciting, we say yes to God at that point as well, don't we? So just want to encourage you in that. And some people would talk about the rocky ground kind of representing something that goes on within us. If the hard ground represents the devil, then the rocky ground represents maybe the flesh. Let's look at the next type of soil, the thorny ground. And this one is a big one, as they all are. It really was a good story, wasn't it? So, thorny ground. The seed cast in the weeds, Jesus says, represents the one who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. Ouch. So this is another type of danger that we can fall into. And there's a sense about this one being half-hearted. Maybe the first one was about being hard-hearted. The second one may be about being hollow-hearted. But this is about being half-hearted. And Do you ever find yourself in this situation overwhelmed with worries, distracted, desiring other things, deceitfulness of wealth, chasing after too many things and crowding out the word? Can you relate to any of that? And I think maybe this place and this time that we live can be very distracting, can't it? We've got phones beeping all the time and notifications going off. And we're so constantly bombarded with message about advertising, and you need this, and this is going to make your life better. And advertising is designed to make us dissatisfied so that it can come in and think we're going to be satisfied by the thing that we get. But that so often isn't our experience, is it? The deceitfulness of wealth is a real issue. And so if that's something that relates to you and resonates with you this morning, then I encourage you to respond. And again, this is something that we might respond in our hearts. Say, Lord, I recognize that I'm too distracted sometimes. I've got to the end of the day and I've realized I didn't have time to pray because I was doing too many other things. Or I didn't have time to read my Bible this morning because I was so distracted by other things. I know that is too often my experience and too often my confession this morning. But so there's going to be a heart response, but I believe that if we respond to this, there's also going to be a response that maybe affects our notification settings on our phone, or maybe affects our diary, or maybe affects our internet browsing habits, or affects our bank account, our bank balance, because these are all areas that God is wanting to speak into, and these are all areas in which we can respond to God. So that's the thorny ground, and we might say that this represents the world. Which is the stuff going on around us. And I love when we do the Alpha course, which is such a good set of teaching. Got some Alpha course fans in. Yes, yeah. Victoria. But Nicky Gumbel has his friend called Father Raniero Cantalamessa. He's a cool dude. And he's the guy who preaches to the Pope. He preaches to the papal household. And not the PayPal, that's something else, but the papal household, the Pope. He talks about our battle, our struggle in life being against a triple alliance. There's three things that we might struggle with: the world, which is the enemy around us, the flesh, which is the enemy within us, and the devil, which is the enemy above us. And these three types of soil, the first three that we've talked about, maybe relate to those things. Being distracted by the world, struggling with not having sufficient depth and character within us, and the enemy stealing away things. Because we're too hard-hearted at times. And let's come now to look at the final type of soil that Jesus speaks about. The good ground, the good soil. And the Message puts it like this: but the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. And doesn't that sound like the sort of life that you would like to lead? It's the sort of life that I would like to lead. A fruitful life, producing a harvest, producing growth, producing something that lasts. And this type of soil speaks of being wholehearted. If we've been hard-hearted or hollow-hearted or half-hearted, this type of soil means to be wholehearted, to be devoted to God. And this is soil that allows us to have deep roots. This is soil that has the right nutrients in it for our growth. This is the soil that doesn't find us distracted, and it doesn't find us withering. It doesn't find us resistant. It finds us embracing the word and producing a harvest. It's not enough to hear the word, like in the exercise DVD. It's not enough just to hear the instructions. We have to embrace it. And there's something about the Jesus life that only makes sense when we start to live it. And other things in this chapter that I haven't got time to really unpack at the moment, but it talks about this kind of steady growth that happens, and we kind of get into a positive momentum of growth. And as we understand more of the Jesus life and the Jesus way, the kingdom way, then this stuff starts to make more sense to us. And to him who has, even more will be given, is what it says. And so I just want to encourage you that wherever we're at this morning, there's always more for us. There's always places where we can move forward, and there's always increasing fruitfulness available to us. And the NIV talks about 30, 60, and 100 times. And so there's different levels of fruitfulness, maybe at different times or for different people, but they're all exponential growth, aren't they? They're all many, many times what's been sown. And so that's kind of the end of what I wanted to speak to us about this morning. Just want to take a moment to examine our own hearts and see if there's, see if God is wanting to speak to us this morning. If you find yourself in a position this morning and say, do you know what? I'm good soil. I'm fruitful. Then that's fantastic and a really good place to be. But if there's areas of our lives where we're feeling, do you know what? I'm a little bit hard-hearted. I've resisted Jesus coming into this part of my life. I've resisted what God is saying to me or asking of me in this area. Then just allow God to work on our hearts, God to dig it over, dig over the soil. If there's areas of your life where you feel, do you know what? God is calling me to go deeper, to put my roots down deeper into Jesus. Then just encourage you to respond to that this morning. And what a wonderful thing it is to have deep roots in Jesus. And that's God's heart for us. It's what God wants for us. It's God's will for us. And so this morning, as we discovered, it's our response that makes the difference. So just encourage you, if that's you, just be responding in your heart this morning. If God's talking to you about distraction, about worry, about desiring other things, get this sense of a little dog who doesn't know what to chase after, so he's just running all over the place. But God is wanting us to be wholehearted, not half-hearted. So if you're overwhelmed with worry this morning, Jesus says, come to me. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So we can hand some of these things over to Jesus. We can let go of some of these desires that seem like they're good, but are ultimately unhelpful. And we can decide that as we go away from here, if God's speaking to us about this, then maybe there are things in our life that we want to make changes on. And respond in that way as well. Respond in our hearts, but respond in a practical way as well. And maybe that's something to chat through with people who are close to you. And we want to receive God's invitation to be good soil this morning, don't we? So I'm just going to pray for us and then hand back to Matt, who can lead us on. Father God, this morning we want to repent of the times when we've been hard-hearted, of the areas where we've been resistant to letting Jesus be Lord of our lives. I want to do that this morning, Lord. Would you help us this morning? Lord, we want to repent of the times when we've not gone deep enough, when our roots have left us vulnerable in difficult times because we've not gone deep enough. Would you take us deeper this morning? Would you let our roots sink down deeply into you and drink of everything we need from Jesus Christ this morning? Lord, we want to repent of being distracted this morning, of being overwhelmed with worries that have distracted us from focusing on you, worshipping you, serving you, and living for you. Lord, we're sorry. Would you open our eyes to see areas in which we've been sucked in by deceitfulness of wealth, areas where we've chased after too many things, areas where Jesus has been crowded out because there's so much going on. Lord, we're sorry. Would you help us? Would you help us put you first? Lord, this morning, would you make us a fruitful people? Don't let us go through life and at the end, we don't want you to say there was nothing to show for it and nothing came of it. Lord, would you make us fruitful people? Would you give us hearts that are receptive to you, that are open to you, that are responsive to you? Jesus, we want to respond to you this morning. Thank you that as we do that, we know that you love us. You're a good, good Father, Father God. So we invite you gently to come into our lives, come into our hearts, put your finger on the things that you're wanting to draw our attention to this morning. Thank you that you don't come to condemn, but you come to encourage us, to strengthen us, to call us on to greater fruitfulness. And that's what we want this morning, Lord. So would you help us this morning? Come, Holy Spirit.